brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerds Domain Podcast. I'm Matt, and this week I'm joined by Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Matt Hurt from the Obsessive Viewer Podcast and from, not analogies, anthologies. There we go.
Anthology.
Yeah. Anthology, which is your new podcast. You've been on a couple times talk about Obsessive Viewer. Why don't we talk about Anthology real quick?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Anthology is a solo side project podcast that I started about a month or so ago. It's basically, the premise of it is that it's a podcast exploring science fiction anthology storytelling during television's golden age, so basically the Twilight Zone. I'm basically taking two episodes of the Twilight Zone per episode of the podcast, kind of breaking down the plot summary and the cast and crew and any kind of themes or statements that Serling and his writing staff and team were trying to make with the episode, and giving my just overall view, my overall feelings about the episode as a viewer, a first time viewer actually. So the entire. I'm planning on covering the entire series of The Twilight Zone, and then after that I'll probably move on to The Outer Limits and then kind of go through some more classic science fiction television. And all that can be found at anthologypod.com. It's also on iTunes and all the, you know, podcatchers.
Right on. So this week we're going to, you and I are going to talk about movies. Obsessive Viewer is kind of all about that, and I know Anthology is not quite that same thing, but
right.
It's along those same lines, so... Well, we're going to talk about the summer movies of 2015 now that we're kind of outside the summer and talk about what we liked and didn't like, what worked and didn't work, and what we were surprised by, good or bad, I guess. So you up for that, I hope?
Oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. I have a lot of thoughts about the summer, the past summer, in terms of movies, so definitely up for it.
So I kind of want to start in April. Honestly, the only movie I saw in April was Furious 7. and it was a movie. It wasn't bad. It just was not. I hadn't watched 3, 4, 5, or 6, so I was a little lost. Did you get to see Furious 7?
I did, actually. It was the third Fast and Furious movie that I've seen in the theater with my co-host Tiny on Obsessive Viewer. It's kind of become a weird tradition. The movies, they're high octane, no pun intended, action flicks, but it reaches a point.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. but it reached a point maybe like 3 entries ago in the franchise where it became something so unique in that it became this really this cohesive franchise and this kind of big universe with all these different characters, and it became a completely different genre from when it started out with. So I kind of appreciate that aspect of the franchise, but the movie itself was just so much fun. It was such a fun popcorn movie, and it didn't take itself too seriously. And then when it did take itself seriously, it was in tribute to Paul Walker's passing, which I think that they handled very, very, very well and very respectfully. So I dug it. I probably won't be adding it to my collection anytime soon, but I would probably see it again with like in a friend setting with a bunch of friends.
Right on. Okay. Did you see anything else in April? I know Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 was probably top of your list.
Oh, no. I did not see that. My co-host who's on sabbatical from the podcast, he said it's probably his worst movie of the year.
I don't know. There are some other movies out there.
Yeah. I should say that he said that without having seen Fantastic Four, so we'll get to that later, I'm sure. But as far as other movies that I saw in April, we'll probably want to talk about this for May, because it was technically a May release, but I saw Avengers Age of Ultron. But before that,
There wasn't a lot in April. It was a little light. It was really those two big ones that we did for the movie draft. The movie draft is wrapping up. I think we've got a couple of weeks into September for movies to kind of wrap up grab as much money as they can, but I'm pretty sure I have the win with Jurassic Park or Jurassic World thing. Nice. Thank God.
Nice.
You can't name your team team wins a lot and then lose. It looks bad. So
right.
So May started off with a bang with Avengers: Age of Ultron. You talked briefly about that with us on a There Are Four Lights podcast, which will be out in a month or so.
Nice.
From when this goes up. So, but you enjoyed Avengers: Age of Ultron, right?
I did, and it's funny because I'll be very interested to hear what I said then, because I think that was like, I think we recorded that like pretty soon after I'd seen it, so it was kind of really fresh in my mind. And with this, like with time, I kind of viewed it against. I watched it, or I processed my feelings about it in context with the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the farther I get away from it, I kind of think like, okay, well, it had some issues, but it was a fun popcorn blockbuster spectacle. And I enjoyed it quite a bit.
That's pretty much what you said. Having edited that podcast today, it was essentially, this is a fun popcorn movie. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I think there were a lot of good things. I think that there were some missteps. I think we're both on the same page, probably, yeah. Maybe different stuff, but, there was some definite really good moments, and, they could have built more on that, but I think there was a lot of building here for other stuff, and unlike the last Avengers movie. And while I'm okay with that, the payoff is going to be different than it was when it was the other way around, when everything else built up to the Avengers, the first one.
Right.
So, I will say, honestly, May was full of movies. You saw Mad Max, right?
I did not. I didn't get around to seeing what? That. I know.
Have you not
I know.
Seen it at all?
Nope. No, I haven't seen Fury Road. Oh. No.
Oh.
I know.
Matt, what are you doing?
I know.
It was phenomenal.
That's what I keep hearing.
Like, how do you not? But you're obsessively viewing things, and you missed it.
It slipped through the cracks. I don't know. I'll explain. The reason I didn't actually see it in theaters is because I wanted to watch all of the Mad Max movies and then do it. Like, I had set aside a day to where I would watch Mad Max and then the sequels and then go to the theater and see Fury Road. But then I think I was in a weird mood or something, because I'd never seen any of the movies. And when I watched the original Mad Max, I just wasn't really feeling it. And I was like, I could probably still go and see Fury Road without seeing the sequels, and I'd be fine. And I was prepared to do that. But I was like, maybe I'll put some distance between this viewing of Mad Max and then the viewing of Fury Road. And then it just kind of slipped through the cracks that way.
Yeah, that the first Mad Max movie is slow and a little. It feels low budget, but they did a good job, I think.
Yeah, and it was
a different kind of feel.
Exactly, and it was a spectacularly low budget movie. Like it was made with next to no money, and yeah. And I mean, I think what turned me away from it was that. I had no idea that it was like an origin story kind of movie, because it's kind of like Mad Max's origin, and then the Road Runner is or the Road Warrior is where he becomes like Mad Max, and it's kind of I was expecting something much different than what I got. So
yeah, definitely different, a different feel to it altogether. Did you see Hot Pursuit or Pitch Perfect 2?
I did not see either of those. My co-host Tiny did, and he said that Hot Pursuit. He said that he didn't like Hot Pursuit, and he didn't like it so much that he completely forgot about it when he looked over his list, because we did an episode about just a movies of 2015 so far, basically, and like he didn't even remember what Hot Pursuit was, and he said that
wow.
Pitch Perfect 2 was funny.
Right on.
Well, how'd you feel about it?
I didn't watch either one of them. I didn't watch Pitch Perfect or Pitch Perfect 2. I'm kind of selective on the movies we see in the theater. I want to see something on the big screen that belongs on the big screen. And I don't mean that comedies don't necessarily, but I can watch those at home and it still is a lot of the same feel. Whereas stuff like Avengers and Mad Max, I want to see on the big screen. I even went and saw Mad Max almost a week after the first time. At the drive-in, and it was definitely worth it.
Nice.
Again. So, having said that, I also didn't touch Poltergeist, which came out in May. I don't know how it did. I don't do horror movies in general. So.
That's right. I saw Poltergeist, and
that good.
It was not good. It was not good. It was a. I mean, you know, any remake of a well-respected classic of a franchise is gonna catch some heat. But I mean, Poltergeist was PG-13 first of all, and which wasn't necessarily that bad of a thing, but also just. It was like the story, it wasn't coherent, really. Like, I mean, Sam Rockwell's character, he's the father of the family, and there's a big thing about how he was laid off and how, for some reason, they had to downgrade from their original house, and that's what made them buy a new house. I'm like, why don't you just rent an apartment so you get on your feet? But little nitpicking things like that was just pervasive throughout the whole movie, and it made it just – and it wasn't that scary. It wasn't – like there wasn't much – it was a mess. It was awful.
Right on.
Yeah, and it sucks because I really like Sam Rockwell, and he just really had to phone it in because the script wasn't there for him.
Yeah, it did $47 million in the theaters, which unfortunately is like $25 million less than Paul Blart. But still better than Hot Pursuit. So, hey, what are you going to do?
There you go.
Did you get a chance to see Tomorrowland at all?
I didn't, but I've been really anxious to see it because so many podcasts I've listened to covered it, and I want to listen to those episodes. But
it's a kid's movie first,
mm-hmm.
and not nearly as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
Really?
I wasn't completely disappointed when I left the theater, but the trailer sold me a bill of goods that was not fulfilled by the theater, by the movie.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why I didn't even bother to see it was because, I mean, the original trailer looked pretty okay. Like the little teaser, it looked interesting. It looked intriguing, and it looked like it would be at least an interesting story. But when we saw Avengers, they showed like an IMAX clip from it, and I was like, this isn't doing anything for me. It's goofy and weird. So
it has some heart, but it definitely is not the kind of movie I would want to see again right away. If it were like, hey, this movie just came on TBS or in this case probably Disney, I'd be like, oh yeah, I could totally go see that, sure, let's just sit here and watch it. But no, I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think I'll purchase that or anything similar to that. Did you see San Andreas?
I didn't, but I heard it wasn't that good. I'm all like destruction porn though. So
yeah, Shirley said that she was excited because they got to use just about every vehicle possible. Because they start off in a helicopter, then get in a truck, and then there's a plane, and then they get in a boat. yeah, it was. It was ridiculous. The Rock was not bad, but the scripting was not great either. And the destruction porn was good, but not nearly as good as Day After. It felt like Day After Tomorrow. If you've seen Day After Tomorrow, other than the guy that's going to rescue his kid is not also the scientist in this one, and the scientist is instead that guy who I love that I can't think of his name, played the orangutan in the Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes.
Who's
a good actor. Man, what is his name? Anyway, all right, so after San Andreas that we couldn't find the guy's name because I'm moving on. we have Entourage. You're a big Entourage fan, right?
No.
What? No?
I'm not an Entourage fan, no. I'm trying to...
You didn't watch... All of the episodes on HBO and then the movie?
I most certainly did not. I watched maybe like two or three seasons of it total, but man, that show, not a fan, not for me.
Yeah, I bought it in the draft, but that was mostly because nobody else wanted it, and I got it for what I thought was going to be a good price, and then it tanked and did not do well at all, so...
Jeez.
Then what do we have? Oh, Insidious Chapter 3 and Spy. Didn't see any of those.
Me neither. I heard I heard Spy was pretty good, but I didn't see it. I'm not really a big Melissa McCarthy fan, but
She's funny and a girl. You have to like her. Sorry,
she is, but she's the same every movie.
yeah. I've gotten a feeling over the last couple of years that if I don't think Melissa McCarthy is hilarious, then I'm doing it wrong, and I don't like that feeling.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate, but that's the case. And then the big movie of the summer so far, I don't think anything else is going to come near beating it, was Jurassic World, which smashed the box office and was ridiculous. I actually came on your podcast and talked all about that. I think what episode is that, Matt? You should know off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head.
But that's definitely if you guys want a deeper thought on that one, you can go over and looks like Jurassic World was 111.
Okay, yeah. Hang on.
Just a viewer podcast, 111. You could also find the immediate movie review for Furious 7 over on the Nerds Domain podcast feed. It's back a couple. I'm not even sure what my numbers are. I can't really say anything to you about yours. Did you get to see Inside Out?
I did. Oh yeah. Oh, I did.
How's
you see
that?
It?
How? No. Well, no. Two reasons. One, we were so busy this summer that we had to skip some stuff that we wanted to see. But also, there were clowns in it, and I'm terrified. So, no, I did not.
Oh. Huh. Well, I will go ahead and say it is my current movie of the year. It. I mean,
really?
Oh yeah. I'm a huge Pixar fan anyway. So I'm curious to go back and watch it in context with the rest of their movies. But man, that movie really hit me. It was a very, very intelligent deconstruction of, you know, the emotions of a young girl and how these emotions process something as stressful as moving to a new town and kind of trying to adjust to this new life. And it even goes to some surprisingly dark places. And it's also the animation is just absolutely just jaw-droppingly gorgeous. It's one of Pixar's most colorful movies. And to see how the emotions are personified on screen and how their own, like the way that they deal with situations, how that affects her outer feelings and everything was just so well done and so well executed. And I absolutely adored it.
Right on. I didn't see it, so I don't know. that sounds great. How many clowns were in it?
You know, I don't really remember there being, oh yeah. There's one really big clown. I don't think you'd be a fan of that. It made me laugh, but I remember thinking like this could scare some people and even some children. I was surprised that it got through to that for a kids movie. It was surprisingly dark.
And you know, it did pretty well this summer as well. Actually, it did better than Minions. I'm kind of impressed.
Nice.
Then there was the good old Ted 2. Ted 2?
I haven't seen it yet. I liked Ted, and it took a couple viewings to really kind of appreciate it. But after A Million Ways to Die in the West, I'm kind of hesitant to pay money to see Seth MacFarlane's movies.
I can understand that. After Ted, so that kind of wraps up July or June. Mm-hmm. Starting in July, we had two what should have been big movies, I guess, but were okay, not really. Magic Mike XXL and Terminator Genisys. Did you see Terminator Genisys? I know you went and saw Magic Mike.
I have not seen Magic Mike, but I did see Terminator Genisys, and have you been following what happened with the international box office for that?
No, I have not.
It made like it tanked here, but in like China, it made like $400 million.
Wow. Why?
I no idea. No idea. I think that I'm just very perplexed by it.
Did you enjoy the movie?
Not really. I thought it was serviceable. I thought it was kind of okay. There were some elements of it that were enjoyable, but for the most part it was pretty forgettable, and I was just kind of just I don't know. I was just kind of unaffected by it, really. I mean, I'm not well, and I should clarify and say that I'm not a huge fan of the franchise. Like, I appreciate the movies, but at least the first two. But I'm not like a diehard fan of Terminator. So, yeah, I could take.
Okay.
Did you see it?
I did not. Yet another movie that got missed in our summer of stuff. So next, I should note, now that we're halfway, almost all the way through the summer, we're only hitting the big releases, except for one that I want to talk about at the end, because I want to talk at length. I'm hoping Matt saw it, and if he didn't, I'm going to talk to him about it anyway, because I really liked it. There are a lot of limited release stuff that we just aren't touching, because 90% of these probably only came to one theater here in Indianapolis,
yeah. If
they came at all, so... Did you see Minions?
I didn't. I didn't see it.
Go ahead and say you're not a Despicable Me fan. Go ahead. It's okay.
Despicable. I saw the first Despicable Me, and I liked it actually quite a bit. But I think I saw Despicable Me 2. I think I saw it like with my nephews, and I wasn't really paying that close attention to it. But I don't see the appeal or the reason for having a Minions movie. Did you see it?
We did. That was another immediate movie review that we did. It was it wasn't bad. There were parts that fell very flat, and there were other parts that fell kind of flat, and overall it wasn't a phenomenal movie. It was good. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. It did really well, though. The kids loved it, so whatever, I guess.
Nice.
Did you see Gallows or Selfless?
No, I didn't, but I've heard pretty bad things about both of them, especially the Gallows.
That's good. That's good to know. Not that I would have seen Gallows anyway.
Right.
Did you get to see Trainwreck?
I did.
Was it as much of a train wreck as you expected?
You know, I thought it was okay. Amy Schumer, I kind of realized going into it, like, I had really no context for her comedy styles, despite her being fairly prolific, at least in online fan base and stuff like that. But the only reference point I had for her was, like, I think one of the roasts that she was on Comedy Central. But as far as the movie itself, it was funny. It was fairly funny, and... It was, and like that, I appreciated. I did appreciate how it was funny, but so much of it was just really, really formulaic rom-com kind of setups and payoffs, and it was really just it followed a formula that no matter how funny it was, it couldn't really overshadow how formulaic it was for me. I will say that. LeBron James plays LeBron James in the movie, but his character he takes on the role of like the kind of best friend of the main character kind of trope, I guess. So like he's Bill Hader's so like he's Bill Hader's like confidant. So like there's scenes where Bill Hader is talking to LeBron James, and LeBron James is like being like the romantic comedy voice of reason, and it's hilarious because it's LeBron James doing it, and it's goofy to see that. But other than that, it was okay. On ObsessiveViewer.com, I rated it 5.5 out of 10, so it wasn't bad, but not much to write
home
about.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Did you get to see Ant-Man, though?
I did.
All right.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah. We missed it. We waited a couple of weeks to see it, but we did go see it. We tried it out at a new theater, or at a theater that we just found up in Carmel called Flick's Brewhouse, happy with. Have you been to Flicks?
I haven't, but it's been really on my radar. Is it
So Studio Movie Grill has has held its own kind of in its own way, but it has declined some lately with the service and the just the I don't know, the style that they've kind of lost a little bit of that. And Flix felt like it had more of a brewery feel to it. And I like their setup better, and we seem to get better service and better responses. So overall, I was impressed by the food. The food was good.
Nice.
And yeah, and their kids menu, because we took my son, their kids menu was good enough that he was happy and had things to choose from instead of just being stuck with one thing. So that was good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. But
Ant-Man was a nice, fresh, kind of easygoing comic book movie. At least that's the way I felt.
Yeah, totally.
It took itself seriously, but only so much as it wanted to. But then, what is his name? The guy that told the story and then ended up voicing all the characters in his story.
Who's that? Why can't I remember his name? I feel bad because I really like that. Michael Pena.
Yeah, he was great, and I really hope that he gets to stick around and becomes like a side character for the Avengers or something. Because those stories were phenomenal.
Absolutely.
And I was really, really happy with those. Overall, it was a really good movie, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm pretty sure I just realized the name of the guy from the other movie that I am. Yeah, it's Paul Giamatti.
Oh, Paul Giamatti. Okay.
Yeah. He was in San Andreas, going back to that real quick. And he was okay. He was the scientist in it, and he was good, but the script around him was not good. So,
Ant-Man. Ant-Man was good. I enjoyed it. For as much problems behind the scenes as there was, I'm surprised that they actually had like they put out a product that was worthy of it that you wouldn't really think of having problems behind the scenes. So I liked it.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. Did you get to see Pixels at all?
I didn't. It's funny. We did our Summer of Sandler thing last year, and I mean, after that, I'm just kind of done with Adam Sandler. But but when I saw the trailer for Pixels, like the first trailer, I was under the impression that it was just him. Like he was just an actor, and it wasn't going to be part of his production company or anything like that. But before it came out, like when it came out, I looked it up, and yeah, it's like his whole gang and everything. So I was like, yep, I'm not going to be seeing that.
It did not do well either. you know, it did better than Entourage, but you know, there's that.
Right.
And then Southpaw. Did you see Southpaw? That seems more of a kind of an up your alley kind of movie.
I wanted
to. Because it's more like storytelling.
Yeah.
And not just dumb crap.
I wanted to see Southpaw. I would try to see Southpaw because I had a pass from GoFobo for it, but when me and Tiny got there, it was filled up, so we had to. That's when we saw Trainwreck. So I did not see Southpaw.
Right on. Did you get to see Vacation?
I did. I did. I saw Vacation like I think it was maybe opening weekend that it came out, and the thing that I came away from with it was that fans of like people who revere the Vacation franchise and the Griswold family, like people who revere those movies and hold those to really high esteem, will absolutely despise this one. And then people who just kind of have a passing familiarity with the Griswolds and stuff like that, they'll just think that this is an awful movie. A lot of the comedy did not land with me. Some of it did, but I couldn't – like here it's been a couple months since I saw it, or like probably a month and a half, and I couldn't tell you – I could tell you one joke that that stuck with me, and that was just because of the – ridiculous nature of it and not anything inherently funny about it. Did you see it?
I did not. I love Christmas Vacation, mm-hmm. but I found Vacation, the original Vacation, to be a little too crude for what I would like. And the trailer was funny enough. But it wasn't funny enough for me to want to go out and see it. And Yeah, we were busy, and for good reason. So, like, I don't think we've... I think the last movie we saw was Ant-Man.
Oh, wow.
Looking. Yeah, that's very possible. Well, I take that back, because we went and saw something Friday, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But, yeah. Did you see Mission Impossible?
I didn't.
We specifically did skip this one, because yeah. I haven't seen anything since Mission Impossible 2, and I want to catch up.
That's the same exact thing with me, only I've only seen the original. So I'm going to circle back to it and see it eventually, but I don't know when.
Much like the Fast and Furious movies, it starts at a kind of a high note and dips down, but then comes back. So keep that in mind, because the Ang Lee Mission Impossible is a little rough.
Yeah. Or John Woo.
By a little rough. John Woo, not Ang Lee. Ang Lee, not Ang Lee, John Woo. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
But it is kind of terrible.
Yeah.
Did you see Fantastic Four? I don't think. I don't.
Funny story about Fantastic Four.
It used to be a good comic book.
I had no real desire to see it. And then when I saw Inside Out, Regal gave me one of those free passes to see my next movie for free. So I still had no intention of seeing Fantastic Four. And then the night before it was released, when like the onslaught of horrible press was just starting, one of the hosts of one of my favorite podcasts, the Slash Filmcast. He posted on the Facebook page, like, detailing why it was an awful movie, and I was like, okay, now I kind of got to see this movie. So since it was a new release, I still had to pay like $1.50 with that pass, and I feel like the theater should have given me $2.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was horrendous. It's telling that we had two comic book movies this summer in which they had some very highly publicized problems behind the scenes, and yet Marvel Studios with Ant-Man could still put out a complete product and all that. This Fantastic Four, it felt like half a movie. Like there was a family with a small kid, maybe 5 or 6. In the theater where I saw it, and about 45 minutes into the movie, the kid like blurts out to her dad saying, "Is he the guy that's going to turn into the Rock Man?" And I was kind of annoyed because, like, you know, people making noise in theaters bug me. But then I was like, wait, yeah, we've been here for like 45 minutes. Why does no one have powers yet? Why are they still doing all this? And it's just like, that's kind of embodies one of like most of the problems with the movie, is that it takes way too long to reach a point where they get powers, and then there's not a nonsensical jump to a year later, passing over like the most interesting parts of a superhero origin story, and then they threw in a final battle that is basically the first battle of the movie. They tacked it on at the end, and it was just cringeworthy, so cringeworthy and so awful.
So you were a big fan?
Definitely not.
Yeah, no, that sounds. I've had bad feelings about Fantastic Four since I saw the first trailer, and then everybody saw the second trailer, and they were like, "Oh no, it could be good," and I was like, "No." I had no intention of seeing it. I have no intention of ever seeing it, unless there's some sort of money exchanging hands making me see it.
Right.
Wow. Other stuff came out: The Gift, Ricky and the Flash, and Shaun the Sheep movie. I'm guessing you didn't see any of these.
None of them, but I heard really good things about The Gift.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Shaun and the Sheep.
No, but that looks kind of charming. But
well, it's a Wallace and Gromit movie, so
right.
They don't do. I've not seen anything bad come from them. I've loved everything Wallace and Gromit related. So, did you see The Man from U.N.C.L.E. or Straight Outta Compton?
Didn't see The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but did see Straight Outta Compton, and it was really, really good. there was, it's funny because like, I mean, like I grew up in Indianapolis in the 90s, and like I had no context. Like I don't, like I was exposed to rap music in the suburbs, so I had no context for what they were really saying and going through. And what I felt like Straight Outta Compton did really well was it depicted the world that birthed NWA, and it did it in such an authentic way. And it kind of really gave some important context to what they were doing and the power that their rap that their music really did. And there was a lot of really good like bits and pieces that showed like the backstory to some notable figures and people in the rap community. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Right on. I'm gonna guess you skipped Underdogs, and you're gonna ask me what that movie is, right? This is the animated movie where the kid, the bully comes back and he has to defeat him in a soccer game. And so the foosball table players come to life and help.
I didn't make any of that up. Oh my God.
No. Yeah. It looked terrible.
Yeah. That sounds awful.
It's like they were like, hey, we should make a kids movie, but let's not really try at this. Okay.
As a brief tangent, I'm sorry, but just really quickly, what that reminded me of is that I kind of wish that there was a market or a pull or a rush of a throwback to like 90s kids movies about sports, like Mighty Ducks and Little Giants and stuff like that. I wish that there was a revival of that little subgenre, because that would be cool to see modern day.
They're trying, and this might have been it. Did I mention that the foosball guys don't turn into full size? They're still tiny foosball guys?
No, you did not.
Okay, because that is a thing. That is what happens. It looked terrible. I don't ever want to see it. So to round out the summer, the only other movie that we actually had on the draft that actually came out, because we had a bunch of movies drop, was Hitman Agent 47, unfortunately. I didn't see it. I doubt you that you saw it.
No. Nope.
Yeah. It was a thing. So yeah, here are the movies that we had drop over the summer. The Moon and the Sun, which looked kind of interesting at least. Did you know about that one? It's about one of the King Louis from France and how he meets a mermaid, and there's a story behind it.
Okay.
We missed out on Boo, Bureau of Otherworldly Operations.
Huh. All right.
and then Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Green Legend, Transporter Refueled, Pan, Point Break, and Criminal all got moved.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Point Break, that...
I love the original, and I'm hoping that it's going to turn into something worthwhile.
Yeah, the trailer, being a fan of the original, the trailer just irritates me a lot. It seems like it's so out of character of what the spirit of the original was.
Yeah. Plus, as bad as Keanu Reeves is at times, he was fun bad in that, at least.
Oh, he really was.
I was really looking forward to Pan, and then they yanked it out of the middle of summer and put it in October. Which I'm not even sure if it's still releasing. It is. It's releasing the second Saturday or second Friday in October.
Oh.
So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. What were your big surprises for the summer? What did you not expect to do well or enjoy, but popped up and you were happy with?
You know, I did not expect Jurassic World to be the juggernaut that it was. I just really didn't. And we talked about it on my podcast, but and I expected it to be better. And that was probably the biggest. I really did, and I felt so just shortchanged by it. So that was probably my biggest surprise. Another surprise is that, and this is probably due to Jurassic World more than anything, but I was bummed to see that Inside Out was the first Pixar movie not to debut at number one at the box office. That just kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
But, and especially that movie, it definitely didn't deserve that, but it definitely deserved to kind of have its day at the box office. But,
Well, that's a rough one to go up against. Anything Jurassic Park that's actually done. I will say Jurassic Park may have been rough, or Jurassic World may have been rough, but it was better than the third one. So
yeah,
I think it
true.
At least deserves some of the money. I don't know if it deserves all of that.
Right.
I was surprised by how good Mad Max was. I was expecting to go in and enjoy it. I was really surprised by how well it was handled. I was very disappointed in Tomorrowland. I was hoping it was going to be way more than it was. And then Minions fell right about kind of where I was expecting. I mean, those were the big ones this summer that I saw and wanted to go back. Avengers, I had no hopes for, but that's I have this theory where as long as I don't expect a movie to do well, I can't disappoint me.
Right.
Which is a really, really sad way to look at stuff. But after high school, when I went and saw Dungeons and Dragons the movie, and it just broke my heart how bad that movie is.
Yeah, I've not seen it, but I've heard that it has a reputation.
Well, you can come over anytime you want and watch it, because I have it on DVD.
Nice.
The only other movie that I saw this summer, we went and saw it last Friday at the Keystone Landmark Theater.
I love that theater.
I hadn't been there before. I knew it was there, but I hadn't been there before. But it's the artsy theater here in town that they show stuff on that is limited release. But we went and saw Mr. Holmes. Did you get a chance to see that?
I didn't, but I was kind of curious about it because it's Ian McKellen.
Yeah,
Ian McKellen. Okay, yeah, as an aging Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes, and so. The movie was slow and had a very slow pace to it, which really I could tell when I was paying attention to that. It seemed long, probably because of how slow it was.
Mm-hmm.
But Ian McKellen and the kid actor were so charming and endearing that I was very rarely pulled out of the out of the movie by anything other than a pain in my knee. I hurt my knee that night. The movie drew me in. Ian McKellen was both charming and grumpy as this old Sherlock Holmes, very set in his ways, but knowing that he needed to change and there's growth in his character, even as an old man, that just it was really well done. I really, really enjoyed the movie, and I wish that I had seen it when it came out instead of waiting until, you know, almost August. I guess it was only a couple weeks later, but still, it was so, so very good. I was very, very impressed. I guess it wasn't a week later, because that came out like middle of July.
Yeah.
So I guess it was like a month and a half later. It was delightful. It was such a delightful movie. Matt, if you get a chance to go up there and see if it's still playing, I would suggest it.
Nice.
It jumps back and forth and tells a story, but not in chronological order. You see the main storyline play out, and then it jumps back to two separate stories to kind of explain what's going on and why. And it's a little heartbreaking to watch this guy suffer from dementia and not be able to know what happened and why he feels so guilty. It's very impactful, very well done. I really, really enjoyed it. And I feel like it didn't get enough hype. I don't remember hearing anybody say anything about it, and it should have been talked about a lot more.
Wow. Yeah. So, I definitely need to see it. It was kind of, I agree. It was on my radar. Like, cause I remember about a year ago, there was like, I think the casting announcement or something like that. There was some news about it just that kind of came across my radar, and then it just kind of dropped off. Like, I didn't hear anything else about it. And then suddenly I saw that it was playing at Keystone Art, and I just didn't get around to seeing it. But man, I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, I was very, very impressed. I was so happy with it that I was like, Shirley, we have to do an immediate movie review. And she was like, yeah, it's late. And I'm like, Yeah, and she's like, well, why do you want to do that? And I was like, because it was so good. Everybody needs to know. I was very, very impressed by it. And I couldn't be happier having seen it.
Nice.
So are you looking forward to the fall? Is there anything popping up that you really want to see, like The Martian?
Yeah. There's a few things coming up this fall. The Martian, definitely. I mean, my God, that movie, I'm so excited for. I'm so excited for that. I sent a message to the writer of the book, Andy Weir, and was like, "Hey, would you like to be on the podcast?" And like, he responded with a very, very polite no, saying that he was too busy. And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool." But I'm so, so pumped for that movie. And then I'm so curiously excited or hesitantly excited for, or cautiously excited for Goosebumps, just because the series, I mean, that was my childhood. My childhood was reading Goosebumps like obsessively. And to see it get kind of a Jumanji-esque treatment looks like it could be potentially a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that, and I really feel like my childhood is going to be ruined because I was a big Goosebumps fan when I was a kid. I won't watch movies, but for some reason, reading it, mm-hmm. maybe it's because I had the ability to shut it off whenever I wanted.
Yeah,
I really feel like this fall is going to just destroy the childhoods of so many people because there's Goosebumps and then there's Jim and the Holograms, which
looks
terrible. Yeah,
I just saw the trailer for that this weekend.
Train wreck for that?
And the person I saw was she was surprised that I had no idea what the hell Gem and the whatever holograms was. Like, I had no idea. I didn't know that it was a property at all or anything, and the trailer did nothing for me.
Well, and there's that, and we've got the Peanuts movie coming out in November, which looks horrendous. I cannot stand the animation in that.
Yeah, it looks at least unique, but I think that anything more than a couple minutes of a trailer, then once that kind of wears off, I think it would be kind of tiring to kind of watch that. It's a very strange animation style.
Yeah. And then, you know, The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, and then Star Wars, and another Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
Jeez.
Which tells you, like, I mean, this is all just childhood being destroyed before mm-hmm. us. I am looking forward to a couple of movies, though. Pan, I'm interested in because it looks like a new take, and I like that kind of thing, and it had somebody in it that I was really excited about. I don't remember who
Hugh
it
Jackman?
Was, and of course, yeah, Hugh Jackman's in it, and then there was somebody else that maybe the guy that plays Blackbeard, that actor. But yeah, that looks good. And then Spectre's going to come out, which I really need to go back and just watch James Bond movies until I catch up.
Yes, me too. When I started ObsessiveViewer.com, I bought the Bond 50 Blu-ray collection. I'm staring at it right now. Yeah,
and you haven't watched it.
Well, that's the thing. When I started the website, I did, and when I bought it, I was like, I'm going to review the entire Blu-ray set. So I basically did a review series that was watching reviewing two of the movies per each post, and like I would basically go through all the special features and everything and do a thorough write-up of it. And I got about halfway through it, and then it just kind of dropped off, and now it's 2 years later and the new movie's about to come out, and like I just haven't finished it. So I'm like thinking like I'll just reboot it and just watch the movies one by one and do single movie reviews for each one, but I just need to find the time to do that.
Fair enough. And then Creed comes out.
Yes.
Which
yes.
Looks interesting.
I'm really excited for that.
And then so does Victor Frankenstein. Which Frankenstein? Have you seen the anything for that?
I think I saw a poster for it at the theater or something like that, but I've got no context for it.
It's going to be Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy.
That's right.
So, you know, I enjoyed the two of them.
Yeah.
So I can't really be upset by any of it. We'll see how it goes, but I'm hoping for something. And then, you know, as much as I complain that Star Wars is going to ruin my childhood this winter, I am looking forward to it. I'm still unhappy with when it's coming out, but, you know, what am I going to do?
But, man, it's going to be a behemoth. It's going to be ridiculous. I'm not even a big Star Wars fan, and I'm just like that footage that they just released, like 15 seconds of footage they released a couple like last week, like that had me just so anxious to see it. And I'm not even a huge Star Wars fan. I do want to mention another movie that I'm looking forward to is actually comes out next week. And I'm not necessarily looking forward to it, but I would like to kind of throw my two cents in, is that it's called Sleeping with Other People. And the reason I bring it up is that over the summer they had Indie Film Fest here. Did you get a chance to see any of that stuff?
No.
Okay. It's so cool. Like next year I'm planning on doing it full, but I definitely recommend checking it out next year. But anyway, the opening film of Indie Film Fest this year was Sleeping with Other People. It's this romantic comedy about Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie. They play two people who lose their, they lose their virginities to each other in a one-night stand in college. And then about 12 years later, they bump into each other in New York, and they kind of realize that night, that first sexual experience between the two of them has negatively impacted their relationships going forward. So what they do is they strike up this platonic friendship, and it kind of takes a When Harry Met Sally route from there. And I adored that movie so much. Like, I seriously think that it's like it could be When Harry Met Sally for the millennial generation. I absolutely loved it. It dissected the world of modern dating in such a fresh way. And there was a lot of things that, like, I know people who have gone through things that the characters in that movie have gone through, and it felt so real, and it was funny and really charming, and I really loved it.
Right on.
Yeah, I might actually I might actually go see it again when it comes out in wide release. So I think I think that comes out next week.
Yeah, it comes out on the 11th, which will be the day or 2 days before this comes out.
Oh, okay.
This is our prep episode for when we're out of town. So
that's right.
That sounds great. I did miss the film festival. I don't stay on top of film festivals. I just don't. I don't know why. I've never really caught me. So, So that's kind of been the summer and what's coming up this next year. We may be doing a movie draft here when we get back from vacation. I know Matt and we talked before, and I think you and Tiny are interested in doing that, right?
Oh, yeah, if we can get the logistics down, I feel like the fall and winter that would be just it'd be kind of tricky with Star Wars coming out.
Yeah, well, and it's as it was explained in the podcast that really started this whole idea. It's the Puerto Rican League of is the fall and winter. Like you don't have anything really going on, and it's going to be a bunch of movies that are important somewhere, but they're not going to be great like the summer.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out. I hope I want to do a winter draft. I think it's going to be a totally different thing. Star Wars and Hunger Games are going to make a really rough impact on that. And then the people that don't get those two have to kind of make up for it. So,
right.
They can find you on ovpodcast.com.
Yes. That is
obsessiveviewer.com.
Obsessiveviewer.com is where you can find basically everything. OVpodcast.com is the archive for Obsessive Viewer, the podcast. And also Anthology is at anthologypod.com. And do you mind if I plug Shocktober and Irvington real quick?
No, let's do that. Yeah, I was going to go that way.
Oh, cool. So anyway, Shocktober and Irvington, if you're in Indianapolis, on October 16th, my friends and I at Obsessive Viewer were hosting an event at the Irving Theater in historic Irvington. Basically, what we're doing is we're screening short horror films from local filmmakers. Actually, today, at the day of this recording, we actually got permission to screen a short film that I saw at Indie Film Fest called What's Eating Dad, by Michael Goldberg. And it's a charming dissection of the kind of ending deal of meeting your significant other's parents, and there's a zombie element to it, but at its core, it's about what you're willing to forgive in your significant other's, like the shortcomings of loved ones, and what you're the kind of blinders that you have to put on to care about a loved one or something. I don't know if I'm putting that quite eloquently, but that'll be kicking off our night, and we're going to be screening other short films from Snapshot Productions, the guys that do Billy and Brennan Watch Movies, and JP Leck from ElsewhereWorld.com, and we'll also be screening a documentary about the hauntings at Central State Hospital. We'll be raffling off prizes, doing giveaways of gift cards to local businesses. We'll be having Q&As with the filmmakers. It's going to be a blast. It's October 16th, Irv Theater. You can find more information as well as buy tickets online at shocktoberinirvington.com. And also, there's a Facebook event page for it. So yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, even if you're not here in Indianapolis, I think it's worth traveling from, you know, Chicago, Cincinnati, Louisville, anywhere like that. Somewhere, if you're in the region, it's definitely worth traveling down this way. A lot of great stuff going on there. I know you guys had good success last year.
Yeah,
this is going to be fun for you guys as well.
Yeah, and I should also mention that all the money that we make is going to benefit the Irvington Historical Society, so it's going right back to the Irvington community, which is such a nice little pocket of Indianapolis that's just really beautiful and has some really great people and great businesses in there. So,
yeah, absolutely, and you guys are also going to try and make it out for the Art Fest or Art Franklin Art House Sci-Fi Fest, right?
Yes, I'm very excited about that. I just recently watched Forbidden Planet for the first time, and I'm
nice.
Super, super stoked to see that on the big screen.
That's October 9th and 10th. They are not an official sponsor. I just love what they're doing. So that's October 9th and 10th in Franklin, Indiana, at the Franklin Art House Theater. They are a very specific theater that is charity-driven, or that is a charity. They're a not-for-profit, but they only show old movies and only on the original film. So I went and saw Lawrence of Arabia there. That was fantastic. Some friends of ours have seen several movies there, including Back to the Future. So
nice.
I can only imagine how much fun that kind of stuff is going to be. And I'm really looking forward to it. They have all that stuff. You can find it by looking up the Franklin Art House Theater
Historic online. Art Craft Theater.
There you go. See, this is why you're better at this than I am. You do these kinds of things.
Well, no, in my defense, I have, like, screenings of each, like, all their upcoming screenings. I have it written in my calendar on my desk at work throughout the year. So I spend a good amount of time doing that.
Yeah, no, it should be a great time, and they have a great feel to that theater. It just has a wonderful sense to it. But yeah, anything else you want to plug, Matt? Anything Obsessive Book Nerd or I don't know, whatever else you guys are doing? The Fall of Man. are you gonna be doing that?
I still really want to do that, but I don't think we're gonna be able to cover it this year. But obsessivebooknerd.com is a great kind of spinoff website of Obsessive Viewer that it's basically just a celebration of reading and love of books and stuff like that. I just recently posted a review of the book that was the basis for a movie that's on Netflix now, called Ask Me Anything. The book is called Undiscovered Girl, and I should go ahead and plug this too. On Netflix, Ask Me Anything is this movie starring Britt Robertson from Tomorrowland. It was written and directed by this guy named Allison Burnett, who also wrote the book, and the movie is so, so good. It's really mismarketed on Netflix because it kind of comes across as looking like it's a raunchy teen sex sex comedy, because it's about a girl who blogs about her sexual experiences and her one year deferment from college after high school. And it's a really gripping indie drama about this girl that's really kind of dealing with some personal demons in some very interesting ways. And I got the chance to interview the director, Allison Burnett, on Obsessive Viewer that I actually just posted last week by the time you're listening to this now. So check that out on Obsessive Viewer. But it's such a great movie, and the ending is just such a surprise that it really puts the entire movie into such a specific perspective that I actually was just – I couldn't sleep that night. I lost sleep, and I was kind of just – processing what I'd watched, and it was a really interesting experience and really incredible movie, and definitely check that out. And also
right
obsessivebook.com.
Right on. You can also find Matt on our 10th episode of There Are Four Lights called Dagger of the Mind.
Yes.
That will be out on November 11th. Now I don't have to send you an email, Matt, to remind you. But that's out on November 11th. That's going to be great. Just as a reminder, There Are Four Lights has just started releasing. As of this release, we've got two episodes out. The next one will come out on Wednesday. So that's The Cage. That's already out in our episode zero to kind of explain what's going on. And then The Man Trap comes out on Wednesday. You know, we are pretty far into recording it. I can honestly say the original series is better than I thought it was going to be.
It's so much fun. It's
yeah, definitely.
It's so much fun. I'm very curious what you'll think when you get to season three, because that's where I'm at now, and it's kind of a struggle to get through. But I think that's more me just watching it.
No, it's season three is kind of rough. Have you seen Spock's brain yet?
I have, and it's so goofy and weird. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Matt, for being on. I think that will do us tonight for the Nerds Domain podcast. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. You can go over to patreon.com/nerdsdomain and support us there. You can go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. You should go over to iTunes and give Obsessive Viewer a 5-star rating as well, as well as Anthology, because they're both worth it. And you can find our shirts on /loot. And we will talk to you guys real soon.